Up until now, we've been discussing different aspects of the Bishul Akam. Sometimes it's not Bishul Akam because the food doesn't lend itself to Bishul Akam. Sometimes it's not Bishul Akam because of the identity of who cooked it. As the Ra'a said, maybe if it was cooked under the context of Chol Shei Ein Bo Sakana. Maybe it's mutter because of the kavana or lack thereof that the Nachri had. Now this, sugya, this is the, from a Shulchan Aruch perspective, this is the biggest issue from Sif Hei through Sif Yud. The question of, is it mutter because the Jew got involved enough? What do I need to do to save the day? A Nachri is involved in the kitchen, so how much Jewish participation do you need? That even though the food is Bishul Akam susceptible, and the method of food preparation, which we'll talk about, qualifies as Bishul, but the Jew participated enough, the Jew is Mishtatef enough, that it's Mutter. So that's this a central discussion in Simin Kuf Yud Gimel, and it's rooted in the Gemara that stretches from Lamed Ches Amud Aleph to Lamed Ches Amud Beis. There's a lot going on in these sifim. There are a lot of kashas, and I think, as we'll see, that many of the kashas really coalesce, and there could be a mahalach that's yashiv a lot. Just want to point out one nakuda in advance. And that is the following, and that is just the point that the Shulchan Aruch makes in Sif Zayin. The Gemara is going to be discussing on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph and Lamed Ches Amud Beis different scenarios where there's a mixed bishul. There's Jewish participation, non-Jewish participation. We're going to have to work out the details. One is a mutter, one is an aster. All of the cases, just to lahakdim, after this discussion, Lamed Ches Amud Aleph and Lamed Ches Amud Beis, about where the Jew is someone involved in the cooking of the food, the Gemara goes on to then quote the member of Ravina, Hilchasa, the Gemara says, you have bread that the Jew and non-Jew both participated in this mutter, and some of the examples of Jewish participation in the bread is Shogar Yisrael, that the Jew lit the fire. But he wasn't directly involved with the bread itself. All the cases that Gemara gave previously, both Lamed Ches Amud Aleph and Lamed Ches Amud Beis, were about bishul, and were about actually dealing with the food itself. You're stirring the pot, the Jew is stirring the pot, the Jew is flipping the burgers, or the Jew mamish started everything. So it's worth being aware, as you see in Siv Zayin, there is a machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, is that a distinction or not? And the Sfaradim think that involvement with the fire is a less significant involvement, a narrower type of involvement than involvement with the food itself. And the Sfaradim are of the opinion that to light the fire, to stoke the fire, that's only going to be sufficient by pas and not by bishul. Maybe later at the end of the chabur, maybe next time, we'll explain that a little more, but I just want to sort of put that aside. We will be dealing with Gemaras that talk about involvement with the food. We will be dealing with Gemaras that talk about involvement with the fire. Sfaradim distinguish that. Ashkenazim, though, assume that not only is involvement with the fire sufficient to be matir pas, it's sufficient to be matir bishul as well. Okay, so with that, that's I think going to be orthogonal, unrelated to any other unit we're going to have. So whatever we're talking about in terms of participation, so you'll keep in mind, the Sfaradi we've shown him, participation means with the food itself. Ashkenaz we've shown him, it's participation, even by Bishul Akam, participation, involvement with the food, or involvement with the fire. With that in mind, so let's take a look. There's a lot going on this Gemara. A tremendous amount that flows from this Gemara. And as you see this, you're struck right away by the fact that there are two halves to the sugya. And initially, the difference is two scenarios. Gemara opens Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. I'm reviewing Rav Shmuel. Niach Yisrael Basar Gabi Gachalim Bo Akum V'Hafach Bo. The case on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph is where the Jew begins. The Jew put the meat on the fire. Jew put the meat on the coals. Then the non-Jew comes by afterwards, and he gets involved. We'll see Lam Ches Mabez, the Gemara will explicitly say, and now let's talk about the reverse. How about if the Nachri started and the Jew came second? Okay. But as we're going to see very soon, there are more differences between Lam Ches Amarav and Lam Ches Mabez than merely, you know, the two different cases. So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara begins with this memory of Shmuel, that the Jew put the meat on the coals and the Nachri came and flipped it. The Nachri came and flipped it. So that is mutter. The Nachri came and flipped it. So that's mutter. So the Gemara asked a series of two kashas on this memra of Shmuel. The first kasha is a hechidami, and the second kasha is the problem. The first kasha is a hechidami, what's the case? Shmuel is telling me a din which is true and a chiddush. I would have thought maybe that in this case it should be aser. So kamashim and Shmuel, this case is mutter. The Gemara says, mimanavshach. If the Nachri's involvement wasn't necessary, it would have cooked with Yisrael alone. If what Yisrael did was adequate, so then, of course, it's mutter. The Nachri didn't do anything. Why would you think that the Nachri poking around makes it awesome? And the Gemara says, and the Leiduch, he says, what Yisrael did was inadequate. If it would not have cooked without the Nachri's involvement, so then the other extreme, it's not that it's pasha, it's mutter, it's wrong, it's haka aser. That's the bishul of the Nachri. So the Gemara comes up with the Chiddush. Amaroim said, it must be, this is an in-between case. What the Jew did was sufficient, but what the non-Jew did was still significant. He did a kiruv bishul. The Jew did a bishul. What the Jew did was a bishul. He put it in a place where it would have cooked without the non-Jew getting involved. So the Yisrael did a bishul, but the Nachri improved it. Maybe the Nachri moved the meat closer to the coals. Maybe the Nachri, we show him talk about, you push the pan, the food in the oven deeper in, closer to the fire. So it would have, as the Gemara puts it, it would have taken 2 hours to cook. Now it's only going to take 1 hour. So the Yisrael Rey did a Maisa Bishul, but the Nachri improved it. He was Makar of the Bishul. So I would have thought that that's Aser. Kamash Malan, that's Mutter. Kamash Malan, that's Mutter. That's what the Gemara says. That's the Gemara's first Kasha against Shmuel, and that's the Gemara's Tarot. In a Hanami, if what Yisrael did was inadequate to do a bishul, so the Nachri did the whole bishul, it's Taka Bishul Akum. But if what Yisrael did was adequate, even though the Nachri made it better, he was Makar of the Bishul Vaiter, that's already Mutter. And then the Gemara has a second Kasha. The Gemara quotes a member of Rabbi Yochanan, also a first-generation Amora, like Shmuel. Shmuel is one of the Talmidim of Yehuda HaNasi who left and went to Bavel to establish yeshiva in Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan is one of the younger Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi who stayed in Eretz Yisrael, and he became the founder of the Amoraya Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, if you're telling me, Shmuel is telling me, that if what the Jew did was adequate, even though the Nachri got involved, it's still mutter. Is it always true? I have a member of Yochanan. Kalshu kamacha ben Drusoy embo mishum bishalakam. Once it's macha ben Drusoy, you're safe. Once it's macha ben Drusoy, it's not a bishalakam problem. What's macha ben Drusoy? Just to back up before we appreciate what macha ben Drusoy is, as you know, macha ben Drusoy is a certain point in the cooking process. My focus are Rishonim. This comes up in Hilchos Shabbos as well. This is part of the general definition of bishul. Machol ben Drusoy is either a machlokas Rashi Rambam, whether it's a third cooked or a half cooked, barely edible, not fully edible. Ben Drusoy was a bandit. Rashi quotes here, Rashi quotes elsewhere. Ben Drusoy was a bandit, always trying to stay one step ahead of the cops. So he didn't have time to cook his meat fully. So he was ochel kadavra mavushal ksas, as Rashi says. This Rasha must have had some very special zchusim. His name became a part of the halachic literature, mentioned a number of times in Shas, innumerable times in Poskim. Machal ben Drusoy, whenever you discuss bishul in different contexts, you know, Machal ben Drusoy invariably comes out. We talk about bishul in the context of Hilchos Shabbos, Melechas Bishul, here in terms of Bishul Akam. Obviously, there are definitions of Bishul, as we've already begun to see elsewhere also, Bishul Basim Chalav, there's an Iser of Psul of Bishul by Karban Pesach. So Machal Ben Drusoy is a basic part of the definition of Bishul. Gemara on Shabbos, I think it's on Daf Ches, that says that if I take food, I put it on the fire on Shabbos, Rahman Atzlan, and it gets to Machal Ben Drusoy, I have violated Melech HaShabbos. Even if I don't leave it on long enough to get to Mavushal called Sarko, I've already violated Bishul once I allow put it on the fire and leave it there long enough to get to Machal Ben Drusoy. Machal Ben Drusoy, again, either a third or a half cooked, that's already, al pi halacha, considered to be minimally cooked. Nah, didn't do a great job, but enough that it's minimally called the bishul. If I only put it on the fire until a quarter cooked, I took it off, that's before Machal Ben Drusoy, then there's no melechas bishul. I violated Din Drabanan, but I'm not going to be chayav chatas if the food never gets to Machal Ben Drusoy. But once it gets to Machal Ben Drusoy and Shabbos, so that's considered to be an act of bishul, a minimal act of bishul. And Rahman al-Tzlan, this Jew is a Chayiv Chatas, Chayiv Karis, as the case may be. So the Gemara references that, Yechon references that here as well. But Bishul Akba also, Machal Ben Drusoy as well, but not surprising, Gidrei Bishul. And what did Yechon say? He said, we're saying Machal Ben Drusoy l'kula. Right? The Gemara in Shabbos presents Machal Ben Drusoy l'chumra. Right? Put on the fire. If you're allowed to get to Machal Ben Drusoy, ay gaval, chil Shabbos. Here the Gemara is saying Machal Ben Drusoy l'kula. Meaning, now you're safe, it's already cooked. So what sort of scenario are we talking about? You unpack the Gemara, there are a few steps of Cheshbon the Gemara is assuming. The Gemara is saying, are we talking about Yisrael first or Nachri first? Rabbi Yechon. I would say Yisrael first, because he's saying, if you get to Machal Ben Drusoy, then you're safe. So obviously Yisrael put it on initially. So if you get to Machal Ben Drusoy before the Nachri gets involved, now you're safe because Yisrael did the Bishul. That's what the Gemara says. Sounds like a Machlek, because Rabbi Yechonon and Shmuel. Because Shmuel said, once a Jew started, it's mutter, regardless of, Shmuel didn't delineate the Nachr Hafach Bal Achar Machal Ben Drusoy, whereas Rabbi Yochanan does. So now the Gemara comes up with a second idea. Again, the first question, Heichidami, the Gemara came up with the idea that Shmuel has to do with the Karuvi Bishul. Now the Gemara comes up with an additional concept. The Gemara says, Shmuel and Yechon aren't arguing. The Torah had two different cases. What are the two different cases? So the Gemara says, normally I don't care. Shmuel described, the Jew has the food on the fire, and the Nachri comes by and pokes it and turns it and does something. One single Hemshech of Bishul, I don't care when the Nachri gets involved, before Machal Ben Drusoy, after Machal Ben Drusoy, that's all mutter. The Jew put it on the fire, and as the Gemara said, adequately, he put it on close enough, he put the meat close enough to the fire, to the coals, that it would cook, then it doesn't matter how much the Nachri accelerates the Bishul, nor does it matter at what point in the trajectory, what point in the process he gets involved. The Jew put on his mutter. Rabbi Yechon said, if the Nachri gets involved before Machal Ben Drusoy, it's usur. The Gemara says, that's because we're talking about a case where it came off and went back on. Osve the silta. Quotes Machlek is Rashi and Ravid. The silta means a basket, or a silta means sounds like a wooden cutting board or something, a slab of wood. Whatever it is, it probably means more or less the same thing. That's what Ritva works on. Probably means that it came off and then it went back out. Nostalic. In other words, Alpi Pashtus. The Gemara is now coming up with the second Chiddush within Shmuel, that if there's one long Hemshech of a Bishul, so then, the Jew put it on the fire, and he put it on well, adequately. So what he did alone is already in my bishul. What he did alone could cook the meat. So that's the bishul Yisrael. Either Nachri gets involved, doesn't matter, especially Yisrael. But if it goes on the fire and comes off, and then Nachri puts it back on, osve the silta, so then you don't have one long hemshech of a maisa bishul. You have two separate maisim. The Yisrael put it on at 10 in the morning, and it came off at 10:15. And then the Nachri puts it back on at 10:30. So now, if you have two separate masim, two separate events, so then, what does Rabbi Yechon say? How's the Gemara, the Amoram understand Rabbi Yechon? So then, it's only going to be mukter if the Yisrael got it over the 33-yard line, so to speak. The Yisrael got it past the Machal Ben Drusoy line, so then it's mukter. But if not, then it's also. Why the chiluk? Why the chiluk? Because then it's a separate maaseh. So the question is, I'm only gonna if the Nachri Yisrael put it on and then it came off. So if it came, the point isn't that when the Nachri put it back on. The question is when did it come off? The Yisrael put it on the fire, but if it came off of a form Achav Ben Drusai, the Yisrael didn't end up doing Bishul. It was looking good. He put it in a spot where it could have cooked, but Lamaisa came off too early. It came off after it was a quarter cooked. So unfortunately, the Yisrael never did a Maisa Bishul. Okay, so where was the Maisa Bishul? Only and exclusively in the second event, which was Kol Kulo the Nachri. If the Nachri put it back on when it was a quarter cooked, that's before Machal Ben Drusai, and now it cooks, so the Yisrael wasn't the Maisa Bishul of the Jew. That was entirely the Maisa Bishul of the Nachri. So that appears to be what the Gemara is telling us on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. We have a memory of Shmuel, that when the Jew puts it on the fire, it's going to be mutter even if the Nachri gets involved in Nachri's Mahapech. But the Gemara has two limitations to that heter. Number one, that's only if what the Yisrael did alone would have been adequate. Yes, the Nachri accelerated it. The Nachri was Makar of the Bishul. But the Yisrael did already qualified as Bishul. The Yisrael alone could have cooked it. And that in, not only would the Yisrael put it close enough, they could have cooked alone, but that in, indeed stayed on the fire long enough to get to Machal Ben Drusai. If it came off the fire before Machal Ben Drusai, two separate masim, so, and then you have to look at during which masa did Bishul occur? During which masa did we cross the line of Machal Ben Drusai? Okay, so that appears to be the Gemara. Gemara even quotes a source for this. Taina mihachi, a brace at the bottom. Menich Yisrael basa gabi gecholim, ba'akim mahapich ba'at shiava Yisrael. Beis haknesses, beis hamedrash. Feina choshesh. The Jew puts the meat on the fire, and the nachri is mahapich while the Jew leaves. While the Jew leaves. Or, you have a woman who's stirring, a Jewish woman is stirring a pot. Shofeses isha kadera gabi kira. Stirring a pot on the stovetop. A nachris comes, and she takes over while the Jewish woman goes to the Beis HaMerchatz or to the Beis HaKnesses. So that, this Bryce is a riot to what? A riot to? This is Bryce a riot to? What is this Bryce a riot to? Riot to Shmuel, right? Shmuel said that even though the Nachar gets involved, the Jew started as Mutter, said to the Bryce, Shmuel, it's already a Bryce. Agav, interesting. Interesting to see the assumption was that grilling the meat was being handled by the men, but the cooking and the pot was being handled by the women. Also interesting to note that the Gemara talks about the Jewish man going to the Beis HaMedrash or Beis HaKnesses, and our Giras, at least in the Gemara, talks about a Jewish woman going to Beis HaMerchatz or a Beis HaKnesses. And we're not talking about Shabbos, because we're stirring pots. They talk about Yom Tov. Hard to measure. Just talk about Yom Tov. Interesting. So some of the Rabbeinu Hananel does not have that Girsa. Chanal's girsa is Beis HaMerchatz or the Shuk. But the girsa that we have, interesting, sounds as though it was not uncommon, but Kufas Chazal, that there were women who went to Beis HaKnesses even during the week. Interesting. Historically interesting. Now if we stopped right here, so again, we have a din that as the Brisa says and Shmuel says, the Jew puts it on the fire, even the Nachri gets involved later, it's going to be mutter. Again, the Gemara, the Amoraim had two caveats. And that's what you see here in Seifim Shulchan Aruch, Sevav, and Shulchan Aruch, Sev Ches. Sevav is two different cases. So for now, the part we saw so far, the other case is going to come from the next piece of Gemara we're about to see. But the end of Sevav, Hiniach Yisrael, the Gemara Akam Reza Mutter. That's Shmuel. And Sevches, that's Sevav, that's Sevav, that's Shmuel. And the Gemara goes on, the Shulchan goes on to say, Sef Yud, Hiniach Yisrael Gabi Gechalm, Omamo, Shloya Ralis Bashay Aleh. But if the Jew put it on the fire, it's going to be Mutter, even though the Nachri got involved, assuming that was the first point the Gemara made. Only if it was the Jew put in a place where it could have cooked without non-Jewish involvement. Non-Jewish involvement accelerated, but the Jew alone already did adequate bishul. But Sif Yud gives the other case. Nech Yisrael, Gabi Chav, almost. Nachri, the Yisrael puts it on on very weak coals that are on their way out, not hot enough to cook. And the Nachri comes by and he gets things going. So then that's Taka, the only the Bishul of the Nachri. Okay, so that was the first caveat, the Sif Yud. And the second caveat was Sif Ches. Nasni Yisrael Kedera Gabeish Vasilka came off, and then the Ba'akum Hechazira, it's going to be Aser unless during the first stretch of Bishul it already was a Bishul. Elim Ken Higil Amacha Ben Drusai, which is Shlish Bishulo Keshe Silka. You see, the Gra, by the way, points out Sivkan Chafalif. You want to know where Shlish Bishulo comes from? That's Rashi, the end of the first paragraph of Shabbos. Okay. So that seems pretty straightforward. The first thing that we notice that's really strange is Ramon Sivav. Ramon Sivav says, Shachan Aruch said, Jew puts it on, Hiniach Yisrael, the Gamra Akum, Hareizem Mutter. And Shachan Aruch and Sif Yud went on to say, only if what the Jew did could have itself adequately cooked it, the Rama directly contradicts that. Afilu lo haya mispashel belo si'ua hakam. Says the Jew put it on the fire, the non-Jew finished it off, it's mutter, even though it could not have cooked without non-Jewish involvement. And everyone, all the achronim jumped. What do you mean? It's against the Gemara, Taz, Shach, Gra. What are you talking about? He's just ignoring a Gemara. How are you talking? The Mati Yonason. What? What's going on here? The Shulchan Aruch didn't explicitly say otherwise here, but he did. And so, that's the way the Torah, if you look back at the Torah organized it that way. Okay, so he gave the Gemara of Shmuel, the Memor of Shmuel, and the Brisa. And then later on, he gave the details of later Amorah and work out. But the Ramah is explicitly ignoring the Gemara. Strange. Kasha number one. Let's go on and we'll see to the second half of the Gemara. We'll see more kashas, and we also, with Ora, will, within those, find more tirutzim. But you know, before we go on to talk about Lamechesh and Beis, just to take what we learned so far. Simply the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch. So just to unpack this a little bit, Lamasa, what this means, if a Jew puts something on the fire and then takes it off, and then a non-Jew puts it back on the fire, so what is that? It's going to be mutter if the Jew already got the Machal Ben Drusai. So what does that look like? What does it look like in your freezer? So it comes up in your freezer in a couple of contexts. Number one, is it mutter for, let's say you have a non-Jewish babysitter taking care of kids, which can raise a number of kashrus issues, and neimanus issues, which we're not going to deal with right now. But let's talk about bishulach. One issue that has to be for sure worked out, you have to have a system where the nachris is not engaged in bishulach. So can you, but you want the kid to have hot food while you're gone. So can the nachris reheat leftovers? The answer is, for sure. That's kavaldik. The Yisrael did a ma'ase bishul. Mamash got it. Forget about machal ben drusai. Leftovers means it was already mubashal called charko from the first bishul. So for sure the nachri can put it back on just to warm it up. And what's also true and more of a chiddush and closer to this actual scenario is, let's say it's not mavushal called sarko when the nachri puts it back on the fire, and that comes up also in your freezer aside from the leftover in your freezer that are ready mavushal called sarko, that comes up in your freezer in potentially two different ways. Number one, there are packaged things, and there might also be homemade things. There are a number of packaged foods that are partially cooked or baked in the factory but meant to be Bechavana, they're not mavushal called sarko. They sell it to you partially baked or partially cooked, and what you do at home in the toaster oven is going to finish it. I think that's if you for purposes of science or for purposes of halachic experimentation, if you try just defrosting frozen pancakes or frozen waffles, but don't toast them. Just let them defrost and try them. They're not only cold, they're a little bit raw, I believe, because they're meant to be finished at home. That's the idea. They gave it to you fully baked, and it's safe, but it's not fully done. If they gave it to you fully done, when you put it in the toaster oven, it would get overdone. So they give it to you, I don't know exactly, it would be well beyond Machab and Drusai, probably 3/4, whatever it is, 8 minutes left to go. So am I allowed to have a Nachri pop the pancakes or the waffles in the toaster oven? And the answer is yes, because it's already Kamachal Ben Drusai. Now that first bishul, how is that done? How is that Motarol? Either you had Yisrael running the factory, or again, in the factory, they took care of the bishulach. Part of the hashkacha was they took care, they may have had a mashkiach involved. We'll have to talk about exactly how. The mashkiach was involved in any food, assuming that waffles and pancakes are bishulachim sensitive. So giving a hashkacha on waffles and pancakes means not only that the ingredients are kosher, you know, and that the kalim are kosher, also means that the mashkiach is involved enough in the cooking or baking process, that it's not bishalakam. Maybe that means that the mashkiach turned on the boiler, whatever it is. Okay. You could also even have this. So you're going to find these seifim, lamed ches amud aleph, seifim vav ches and yud. You're going to find them. Not only will you find them in your freezer in the sense of having leftovers, you also find them in the freezer in the sense of those frozen waffles or frozen pancakes. And number three is that you also find them in your freezer in another homemade fashion, which is a Jew could decide, a private, forget about industrial, you could decide, some will do this, I'm going to prepare that. Want to have salmon ready for supper. So you could decide to yourself do what they do in the waffle factory, which is to prepare the salmon partially, and then freeze it half broiled. And that way, when you take it out to warm it up, it's half broiled. You put it back in the oven for another X number of minutes, and that will finish off the broiling, and it'll be fresh, warm, and ready to go. So in such a case, if the Yisrael on Sunday already made the man, woman, whatever, Yisrael already did the salmon a third of the way, half the way, 3/4 of the way, and then put it in the freezer. So if a nachris takes it out and puts it back in the oven, it's not fully cooked. It's not mamash leftovers, but alpidah, it's the same thing. If the first bishul already got it, the first bishul is a bishul Yisrael, which got it past the Machab Ben Drusai line, so then it's safe. That's what exactly Rabbi Yochanan said, right? Once you get the Machab Ben Drusai and it comes off the fire, safe. Nothing can go wrong. Good on. Again, the problem is, we already have this funny Ramah. This funny Ramah that the Yisrael put it on in a way that wasn't even a bishul at all. The Gemara had rejected that, but the Ramah says, no, that's mutter. What's going on? It's a literal reading of Shmuel and the Brisa, but the Gemara rejected that. So what's Ramah saying? That's problem number one. More problems come as soon as your turn to the second half of the sugya, the Ibailu. As I said before, the Gemara explicitly says, now we're switching from case number one to case number two. We discussed in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, a case the way the Yisrael begins and then Bo Nachri V'Hafach. Now we're talking about the reverse. Ibailu, Niach Akum V'Hafach Yisrael. Let's say it's the reverse. The Nachri started the cooking, and the Yisrael comes by, and he gets involved afterwards. And just to paint the picture a little bit, this will often be, this could either be premeditated or this could be emergency save the day. As a Jew walks into his kitchen and discovers that the Nachri in the home who had wanted, Nachri, Nachris, whatever it is, wanted to surprise you for your birthday and decided to make your favorite Spanish omelet, decided to broil salmon for you, decided to make your steak, whatever it is, fancy baked potatoes, whatever it is, that's a boiling pasta, again, all the different foods that are bishul akum sensitive, the nachri meant well, it was a beautiful sign of friendship, but again, friendship is part of what we're trying to modulate with the bishul akum. The problem is, you walk in and you see Gevalt and Nachri put the food on the fire. Right? Or let's say, let's build it a little more. You had put the chicken soup on the fire, right? And then after you realize, 1 second, it came off after 15 minutes because the Nachri was cleaning the stove. The Nachri put it back on after only 15 minutes. Gevalt! So the first bishul was a bishul Yisrael, but it didn't get the Machal Ben Jerusai. 15 minutes for chicken soup is nowhere near Machal Ben Jerusai. It's raw chicken. And then Nachri put it on 3 hours ago. And now it's been cooking for the last 3 hours, but that was called kulo. That was called kulo bishul akum. Gevalt! You got a problem. What do you do? What do you do? So that's what the Gemara says. Ah! The Nachri put it on the fire. The Nachri put it on from the start. Or it came off and Nachri put it on very soon before Machal Ben Jerusai. So it's not, is all lost? Or can I jump in now and stick my finger in, metaphorically speaking, can I somehow get involved now if the Nachri started? So the Gemara says, you can absolutely save the day. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, sure. Kal v'chomer, for sure. Gamar b'yad akum muter. Gamar ad Yisrael l'kal shkein. Says it's a kal v'chomer from it, Aleph. If it's a mutter, even when the Nachri finishes it off, so if the Jew finishes off, avadet mutter. In other words, Shmuel and the Braisa had said that the Jew starts, that the Nachri finishes, is mutter. Ah, even though the Nachri finishes, it's still mutter. If Jewish participation is matir, even at the beginning, mikal v'chomer, that's going to be matir at the end. Check. And that's the end of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. That's the end of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And that's where the Shulchan Aruch quote is. Sivav. Bishul Yisrael ma'at bishulo. Bein betchila, bein besof is mutter. Hiniach akum basar k'der gavesh v'hafach Yisrael. Or the reverse. In Yech Yisrael, the Gamarakam is the Mutter. That's a quote from the language of the Rambam. Okay. So one second. Anything strike you as curious? Yeah.
Why is it
Kal v'chomer? Yeah, what type of Kal v'chomer? Why is it Kal v'chomer? And not only why is Gemar, why is it Kal v'chomer? It's mamish. Exactly the reverse of the whole Amud Aleph. The whole Amud Aleph, right? The whole Amud Aleph, we just made a 180 turn in terms of Svara. Since when are we following Gemar, should we be following Bishul? Who did the Bishul? I mean, that was the whole Handel of Amud Aleph. Did Yisrael do the Bishul? Israel? Not do the Bishul. Kruvi Bishul. Kruvi Bishul. Kabishul. Is it not Kabishul? That was the whole handle. All of a sudden, Rav Nachman says, we care about the Gemara more. Why do you care about the Gemara more? Certainly from a Hilchas Bishul standpoint, let's just clarify this. From a Hilchas Bishul standpoint, from a Bishul B'Shabbos standpoint, right? If I put it on the fire, that's my Bishul. It could be stirring. Hagasa might also be bishul if it's going to be makar of the bishul more. Maybe that too is bishul. But certainly the ikur bishul is putting it on a fire in a way that it can cook. So why is Rav Nachman by Yitzchak saying, Adirava, I care about the gemar more? That's very, very strange. They are more cautious also. The truth is, this same kasha that we have against Nachman Yitzchak continues into the next Gemara and into a Tosfos. Next Gemara, here, first the Gemara says, Itzmar, Rabbi Bachana said, name Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Acha Bar Bachana said, name Rabbi Yochanan. There's the language of the Rambam Shulchan Aruch Kor and Sivav, Ben Sheniach Akum Hafach Yisrael, Ben Sheniach Yisrael, Hafach Akum, Mutter. Okay. But then Ravina says what we mentioned at the beginning of the Chavurah. Hilchasa harifta de shagar akum afi Yisrael
Shagir Yisrael v'afa akum. Shagir akum v'afa akum v'as Yisrael v'chate v'chetuye shaper dami. Three cases where you don't have a problem pas akum. Either the Jew lit the fire and the non-Jew puts the bread in and bakes the bread, or vice versa. The non-Jew lights the fire and the Jew puts the bread in and bakes it, or the non-Jew did both steps. He lights the fire and he puts the bread in. Think about a tabun or a regular type of oven, as the case may be. And the Jew came by and stoked the fire, made the fire a little hotter. All those cases are mutter. So again, as I said before, the separate machlokas, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, how significant is it to get involved in the fire? Bechol, as the Ram puts it, the Sfardi approach is, you know, there's a big difference chemically and practically in the kitchen between baking and cooking. You read baking instructions, they give you, you know, specific temperatures. 325 and 275 and 350 are not the same. Temperature really matters, even, you know, small variations in the temperature can make a big difference in the chemistry of baking. Cooking food on a pot on a stovetop, it fires a little hotter, it'll get cooked a little more quickly. Fires a little lower, it'll get cooked a little more slowly. But it's not a dramatic difference. So the Ron said, that's why tinkering with the fire is not meaningful by Bishul, but it is meaningful by Pas. Good. But even by Pas, okay, and again, meanwhile, and Ashkenazim say, no, tinkering with the fire is a meaningful act even by Bishul. So they said that's sort of orthogonal from what we're discussing here. Forget about, you know, is lighting the fire, you know, a significant part of cooking versus baking. Why is it significant anything? I light the fire and then the Nachri puts the bread in the oven? Who, whether it's cooking or baking, whose malacha is that? Whose act of bishul afiyah is that? How could you say that I did the bishul in Hilchos Shabbos? That's beferish a brisa Gemara quotes in Beitza Lamedal Amanal. I neglected to put this in my Mekaymus. Gemara talks about it. The brisa talks about it. One person brings the fire, one person brings the water. You know, who's chayav for bishul? So the Gemara says depends. If everything is set up and then the last step was lighting the fire, so then lighting the fire was both an act of mavir, you lit the fire, malacha of mavir, and a malacha of bishul, because you lit a fire under the food. But if you lit the fire first and then subsequently someone brings the pot of water and puts it on the already lit stovetop, so then the one who lit the fire did mavir, but not bishul. The bishul is the one who put the water on the fire, right? You need water and fire to do bishul. Whoever brings the last element is the one who did the bishul. So, if kasha number one was that striking Ramah, the kasha number two is we seem to have a... This Kal V'Chomer is the exact opposite in Svara of Amud Aleph. Amud Aleph were all about Gidrei Bishul. This Kal V'Chomer seems to be ignoring bishul. It's all about the Gemar. And then here you have, so on the other extreme, we're willing to accept the significance of something too early. The Gemara seems like it's a little too late to really be the main bishul. Lighting the fire before the bread is in the oven, that's too early to be called the bishul. That's not bishul. That's again, Hilchos Shabbos, it's a chiyuv skila, a chiyuv chatzis because of mavir, but here we don't have 39 malachas. Here we're just talking about bishul. Bishul akum, pas akum. So what's going on here? So that's the third kash. Yeah.
And just in the last one, the reverse could also be true, like for the Beis Yosef, even if the food is already in the oven, if it's shlakos, then affecting the fire would not count.
Yeah, let's hold off on the Sfardi Ashkenazi difference for now. No. There are more kashas also. Another kasha is the Tosis already gets started. The top Tosis on Ches and Beis. He points out the minig is, it is minig of Hashlachas Kisim. You're not even going to throw in a significant amount of wood into the fire to make it mutter. You can even just throw in a twig. Mashinogu lahashlach kisim latano. That's also mutter. Hashlachas Kisim. The Ramah even goes on to quote in Se'if Zion, he says, not only
not only stoking the fire. Maybe if you didn't stoke the fire. The Jew didn't even kiss him. He didn't even throw in a little bit of wood. Just eish me eish. Raksha akum hidlik ha'eish me eish al Yisrael. The Jew lit a candle and left it there. And then the non-Jew takes the candle and uses it to light the stove. Use the candle to light the oven. It comes up something you have, used to be more common. You have a gas stove with a pilot light, where the light is a little fire that's always lit, and then when you turn the knob, it's just lighting the rest of the gas line, you know, more of the gas from that one little fire. So if the Jew lights the pilot light, so that could be the Eish Me'esh, what the Ramah is describing. What on earth does that have to do with Bishul? I lit a candle, and then the Nachri uses the candle to light the stove and uses that fire to cook food. I didn't even touch the stove. I didn't touch the oven. It's further and further and further away from Bishul. Again, these are sort of further steps of essentially the same kasha. So again, how many kashas did we just talk about? We have that Shvar Ramah that we'll come back to. We have in this sugya, kasha number two, you have the Rav Nachman Yitzchak's Kal V'Chomer, doesn't seem to be aligned with the Bishul. And then Ravina's din of Shagar Yisrael, the Alpha Akum, that also doesn't seem to align with the Bishul. I lit the fire, but then I didn't do the cooking or baking. And then Tosfos takes that even a step further. I threw in a twig. That's not a significant, it's not making a significant impact on the baking process. And Tosfos themselves seem to be bothered by that. They seem, by the way, to be formulating our kasha. Mikula shmaitin mashu de ba'in she Yisrael makarva bishul k'zad. From the whole sukkah, it sounds like you need real kir of bishul. You have to actually be doing something substantive. The gidrei bishul, aye, but we have a minig of hashlachas kisim. Toh says, yeah, it's difficult, but the Gaonim talk about it. Let's talk about shah. And then again, we said the Ramah quote from later, Chachmei Ashkenaz, that even Eish Me'esh, Ramasha, even a step further, I even like the Jew did nothing with the fire upon which the cooking is happening. The Jew lit a preliminary candle, the Nachri used that to light the cooking fire. That's Shri Mutter. So many of we showed him are not happy. But Ramah quotes it. And some quote it and say, well, you know, it's not really Gevaldik, but if people are Mako, maybe you shouldn't stop them. The Ramah doesn't say that. The Ramah seems comfortable with it. Ramah seems comfortable. I understand all of this. And then there's yet another problem, and then we'll begin to talk about solutions. One more kashon shulchan. So again, we have one problem is that you have this difficult Ramah in Sivavt, who seems to ignore the Gemara Lama Chesmel, and says the Jew put it on his mutter even though he put it on so shvach that he couldn't have cooked it all. The second set of problems are all these points in Lama Chesna Beis that seem to ignore Gidrei Bishul, and the pinnacle of that again is the Ramah of Zion. Kisim Eish Me'esh. And then you come to the third Ramah, Ramah and Siftes. There's no Ramah and Sifches, no Ramah and Sifyun. There's 1, 2, 3. Ramah and Siftes. Siftes presents Machlokas Machab Ramah, Tzrei Machlokas Rashba and Rush, and there's the Ramah. Whoever made the footnotes, I don't think it's Ramah himself, the parentheses in the Ramah, some early Achron, gives you, there are a lot of other Rishonim who agree with the Rush, the Ra'ah and the Yitzhak Heter and so forth. Okay. This is often thought of as Machlokas Rush and Rashba. Machaber passes like the Rashba the Sfaradi, the Ramah passes like the Rush Ashkenazi. What's the issue? The issue is, in line, you know, Slavon Chesam Ralph was Jew first. Slavon Chesam Beis was non-Jew first. Right? So, Slavon Chesam Ralph, we had two cases. Right? Jew first, and then the non-Jew gets involved, but it's all one long Hemshech. Or, the Jew first, and then it comes off, and goes back on. Right? They said there, if it comes off, it goes back on, you have to see, did the first act, which is the Jew's act, did that get the Machal Midrasar or not? Okay. So in Siftes, we want to be mashlam down on Lama Chesna Beis. Lama Chesna Beis, we spoke about the non-Jew first, but we only spoke about one long hemshach. How about the non-Jew puts it on, and then it comes off, and the Jew puts it back on? Right? That's the next level of trying to save the day. I said, he's saving the day. So first, he saved the day, you walk in, and you see, Gevalt, the Nachri put the soup up. Okay, so I better stir it. Good, mutim. But how about if I don't walk into the house and discover, Gevalt, the Nachri put the soup on the stove? It's worse. I open the fridge and discover the Nachri already cooked the soup and put it in the fridge. Done, off the fire. So is it still salvageable? Is it still salvageable? Right, that's the parallel to the second case on Chesed and Aleph. So what should be the din? Applying the logic of Chesed and Aleph. What should be the din? Well, it depends, right? Depends. The same way, it should be the same. Right, so if the Nachri got to Machal Ben Jusai and they came off, I'm sorry, in the Nachri did the Bishul, you're done for. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rashba. Bishul Achak Machal Ben Jusai. And then it came off. That's a continuation of Sifches was a Jew puts it on, it came off. Siftes is a non-Jew puts it on, and it came off. So he says, look, he already got to Malchab and Jusai. I'm sorry. And the Ramah, unless the Tzorach Gadol, while it's Tzorach Gadol, maybe the Tzorach Gadol we can make like the Mekilim, who the Ramah quotes as, that's how we paskin. Yesh matirin b'cholin, you don't need Tzorach Gadol. The Rosh says, Avada Mutter. Avada Mutter. What on earth? Everything. The Nachri got it to Machal Ben Drusai, and he took it off. And he put it in the fridge, or he left it out to cool. And you're going to come now and put it back on the fire. It's going to make a Mutter. It's already treif. It's already Bishul Akum. He did the Bishul. What's going on? There's a Pella. A Pella. So it's Mamash three Ramahs in a row. Sivav, Sivzai, and Sivtes. They're all Mamash. All Mamash. What's going on? So the Shach, I think the answer lies, the Shach and the Taz, going back to that first Ramah, work on it. And I think what they're saying can be best appreciated. The Taz seems to say, the Shach, I think, is saying this, can be best appreciated by looking back at the Ramah. We're not going to finish this now, but I'll give you what to think about. Maybe we'll be mashlim tomorrow, but I think you'll really begin to see how things fall into place. Do you notice, you learn Rambam. I think one of the key, more subtle tools in your Derech Halima toolbox, not just in learning halachic sugyas in particular, but in learning Gemara Rishonim, you always have to know what genre of Rishon you're looking at. In what genre of Sefer was this Rishon writing, so you know what to pay attention to and how to make proper diukim. So one obvious thing is positioning. Right? In a Rishon who wrote, most Rishonim that you handle, especially before you start learning Halacha, most Rishonim you're handling with are Rishonim who wrote on Seder Hashas. So where they put things is going to have to do with what sugya are they discussing? So you're sure you come across another context. With the Rambam was reorganizing. The Rambam's goal, he was not trying to write Chiddush on Seder Hashas. He wasn't trying to write a Pirush on the Shas. He was trying to write the Maskanas of the Torah Shel Peh. And he's very clear about the fact that one of his goals was to number one, to just give you a compendium of what's Halacha L'maisa, only the Maskanas, the Shitas, and Chazal we paskin like, and to vigorously, aggressively reorganize them into topical order. He writes explicitly in a letter. He says that the Talmud is a conversation. In a conversation, you expect that things are going to get to different topics. But he's trying to write in the style, not only in the language of Mishnah, I mean in a sort of a neo-Mishnaic Hebrew instead of Aramaic, but he's trying to write in the format of Mishnah as well. He's giving you dinim. He's not giving you conversation. Every once in a long while, I'll give you a little bit of discussion. 9 times out of 10, 99 times out of 100, is just giving you din. So that means, number one, you're going to make different diukim from placement in Rambam. Placement doesn't tell you which sugya relates to, usually, with exceptions. Placement tells you what topic is about. It also means that the Rambam, you're not going to see him, he's not going to make a point of the chidushim that he had. Yeah, particularly a unique approach to Gemara, he's not going to make a point of it. Because that's not his goal. He's just going to say over the Gemara. he's saying over the Gemara the way he understood the Gemara. So the finding the Rambam's chidushim and how he understood the Gemara is going to have to be more subtle. The Rambam writes in a letter, and in also in the Hagadam to Mishnah Torah, Chaim Kanievsky highlights this in the Kiryas Melech, in the Hagadam to Kiryas Melech, that the Rambam quoted very broadly, Bavli Yerushalmi Midrash Halacha, Mishnah is Tosefta, and everything that he writes, he tells us, everything he's writing, he's quoting from Chazal. Unless he's, I say it early, I'm quoting earlier sources. Everyone's a long while to say it seems to me. But otherwise, he's quoting earlier sources. Now, we might say it's a big chiddush because he read the Gemara differently than Rashi and Tosfos did. But from his perspective, he's quoting the Gemara. Quoting the Gemara with his understanding of it, he's quoting the Gemara. So every line Rambam, you should be able to say, oh, this is a quote from X. Where does the Rambam quote our sugya? And how much of our sugya is Rambam quote? Where does he quote our sugya? He quotes very little of it. It's in Sifta Zayin. Halacha Tazayin. The end of Halacha Tazayin. Chol Shebishu Yisrael Ma'at Bishu Bei Betchil Bei Mesof Mutter. So that's the Brisa from Lav Chesem Beis. Lefikach Hiniach Goy Basar O Kedera Gabi Eish Hafach Yisrael Basar Hegis Be Kedera O Sheniach Yisrael V'gomar Hagoy Arei Ze Mutter. Okay. Sorry. That sound, what's he quoting? What's he going? Where's he going from? Only Lama Chesna Beis. He's not quoting Lama Chesna Af Ki Huzeh. Well, he sort of is. He quoted Shmuel. Shmuel is included in that. The Brisa Lama Chesna is included in that. The Heniach Yisrael the Gamar Hagai, that was Shmuel and Lama Chesna and Aleph. And the Brisa and the Bavlam, the Tanya Mehachi, as well as the comment of Rabbi Yochanan on Lama Chesna Beis. You know the Rambam totally left out? All the discussions of the later Amaron on Lama Chesna Beis. He didn't say that Machel Ben Drusai. He didn't say about Kruve Bishol. It's not the Rambam's fault. The Rambam's coin, the first Shver Rambam, Sivah, it's the Rambam. The Rambam never said a word about it's if the Jew put it on, it's only Mutter. If the Jew put it on well enough, that it cooked alone. The Gemara said that, the Rambam never quoted that. So the Beis Yosef points out, the Rambam of the Torah didn't say it, but he says, well, but the Torah says it later, like the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Yod, and that's what the Rambam means also. Very difficult to say that's what the Rambam means, and the Rambam explicitly says not. Rambam explicitly says not. But here, this is key. The Rambam's Derech, again, he only quotes that which he paskens like. If he doesn't pass them that way, he just leaves out that shita. And it's important to know, Rashi, from time to time, that unlike the Bali HaTosfos, whose whole mahalach was whenever you have a machlokas ha-sugyas, you try to figure out how it's not really a machlokas, it's really you have two different sugyas that seem to be so-so one another, but HaTosfos assumed that was the Medech Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, was to consistently do to Gemara what Gemara does to Tanam, which is to assume that everything is consistent unless specifically otherwise specified. And you have two different sugyas that seem to be arguing. You show how not really talking about two different cases of dialectic terrors. That's the mahal of the Bali HaTosfos. The Marsha thing writes in Sota. One of my kids showed me. Marsha writes in Sota. Darko Shal Rashi is no. He'll only say pshat in this Gemara without reference to other Gemaras. Rashi does it not infrequently. What that means is that Rashi, like the Rif and the Rambam, was much more comfortable saying Machlok Zasugis. Even though you don't have different names in different places, Machlok Zasugis. And then, so for Rashi, he's given a Pirish, so he'll be Mefarish each Sugya independently of the other one, if it's a Machlok Zasugis. The Rambam isn't writing a Pirish, he's writing a Sefer of Piskei Halacha. What that means is if he sees a Machlok Zasugis, the way he's going to express himself in the Mishnah Torah is he's going to leave out the Sugya that he doesn't Paskim on. You know what's going on here, Lechora? The Rambam understood that we have machlokes asugyas and we don't pass like Lama Chesav. What do you mean machlokes asugyas? The answer is that was kasha number two. Nachman Yitzchak, what do you mean kal v'chomer? Well, Gemara is more important than Gidrei, than Bishul? Exactly. The Amoram, the we don't know what Shmuel holds, but the later Amoram and Amon Aleph, who are commenting on Shmuel, they assume it's all about Bishul. So how are you going to make sense? Shmuel says, Ba'akar v'hafach bo is mutter. What do you mean? But maybe the guy did the Bishul. No, it must be a case where the Jewry did the Bishul, Kruve Bishul. That was the Amoram and Amon Aleph. But if Nachman Yitzchak on Beis disagrees. He says, no. And Ravina also Lecharon on Beis. He disagrees that you lit the fire beforehand. Or if Nachman says, I care more about the Gemar. Rejecting Gidrei Bishul. So the Amoron Amon Aleph understood that what you need for Jewish participation is it for to be the Jews' Bishul. The Jews involved in the Bishul Al Pidin. Classic global Hilchus Bishul. Say we have Hilchus Bishul and Shabbos have Hilchus Bishul, Gidrei Bishul. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak is changing. He understood, no. These dinim of the Jew being involved, it doesn't have to do with the global dinim of Bishul B'chal Parakula. It's something specific about Bishul Akum. This is unique, a local din miyuchad. What's Taka the Pshat? What's it all about? By the way, I would point out, if you look at the Rif, he has different hashmatzes, but he's also mashmet. He's mashmet all of Shmuel, and he's also mashmet Amoram and Shmuel. He's even mashmet Shmuel himself. They may not be exactly the same as the Rambam, but the Rif, who the Rambam was main part of the very significant part of the Rambam's Masorah, the Rif also seems to have understood the Zemachlokas HaSugyos going on here. What's the Machlokas about? So in Amud Aleph, the Amoram held that it was about Gidrei Bishul. And what's Rav Nachman Yitzchak saying? What's Rav Nachman Yitzchak saying? So the Rambam himself gives us the answer. You look back when the Rambam talks about Kisim. He says, Halach Yud Gimel, that din. Shalgar Yisrael, the Jew lit the fire and then the Nachar came by. Or the Jew just didn't even light the fire, he just poked it a little bit. He says, it's mutter. Because you were neshtatev in Melechat Hapas. You were a participant. You partnered Melechat Hapas. That's an interesting language. It doesn't say offa. Partnered. And he explains. Even ki kot kisim. Lozark el eitzos hochatan is mutter. Why? She'ein hadavar el elios heker shapashal en asura. It's all about the heker. You don't need to actually have baked it or cooked it. It's fine even if the guy did the cooking or baking, but Gidrei Bishul L'chal Tarkula, as long as you did something to make it nicker that this is different as a reminder. This fits in to the way the Rambam understands Olal Shulchan Mulachim, Halachat Hazvav. So he says, Nechal Kamo Shulchai, then it's not Bishul. So he said, Halach Yadal. Halachat Hazvav, he says, Olal Shulchan Mulachim, it is Bishul, but it's Mutter because if it's not all Shulchan Lachim, it's mutter because I don't have a chashash of chasnas. All Shulchan Lachim is all about what? The Gemar. What's the finished product? The finished product has to be socially significant enough that there's a concern of chasnas. That's what's going on. Rambam saw it as a machlokas asugis. And one more last point for now. We'll talk about this some more. You know what? Let's wrap this up tomorrow. This will give pshat to a beautiful pshat to the Tosus Alam Chesem Beis about the Bnei Bav, the Gaonei Bavel, Gaonei Eretz Yisrael. It will give beautiful pshat to the problem of Siftes and the Machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba. So far we saw what many, many kashas, essentially three Shver Ramaz, Sifzvav, Sifzayin, Siftes. We saw by carefully looking at the Rambam, you begin to understand where the Rambam is going. We'll put the pieces together more completely with Shem tomorrow. And we'll be able to wrap it all together.